You can just hear the briefings to stock traders on a day like today. Let's be careful out there.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The NASDAQ Composite Index is down about 6% from a month ago, and it has been a rocky series of trading days. In fact, the NASDAQ fell 3.1% on Thursday, the biggest fall since 2011. Why all this new aversion to risk implied by people getting out of stocks? On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, who has promised a nice list of theories for us. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, David.
We've been trying to make sense of the weakness in the stock market here all morning. Give me a sense of how you're framing it.
Well, goodness, look, there's a lot of factors, right? We know that high-income individuals are facing bigger tax bills than they expected this year. They have to raise cash. There's also sector rotation going on, people getting out of last year's high flyers and into dividend-paying stocks or even bonds.
And there we were yesterday morning. I get this text from Marketplace's China correspondent saying, have you seen this import and export data? The data from China was quite weak.
Oh, that's right. And it turns out when we do our monthly review of what moved stock and bond prices, some of the biggest sell-offs in stocks are on days when China announces unexpectedly bad economic news or not enough stimulus or corruption investigations and so on. And sure enough, this week, we had a couple of surprises out of China. One was a decline on a year-on-year basis in both exports and imports. That was not expected, and it means GDP growth is probably going to fall short of target. We had a speech from Premier Li, who promised that they're going to go ahead with targeted stimulus, but they're not going to do anything bigger. That was a surprise, too. And then finally, there is this huge crackdown on corruption, which this week we saw a prominent family, many family members arrested and a $14.5 billion fortune seized. And that sort of cast a chill over the Chinese economy as well. So put all of that together, and it actually makes sense that these tech stocks, which are so sensitive to global growth, are down as much as they are.
Economist Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
This morning, J.P. Morgan Chase reported first quarter profits fell 19%. It apparently didn't make as much money in the bond market last quarter. In early trading, its stock was down over 4%. At a time Federal Reserve policymakers were worried about inflation being too low, perhaps they can stop worrying. The producer price index today went up 0.5%. The so-called core rate of wholesale inflation, taking out food, oil, and gas, went up by the most in 3 years. Note that government statisticians have just overhauled that index, and it now includes wholesale prices for services, so there may be some noise in the data. We like to keep an eye on alternative economic indicators amid the daily burble of things like producer prices and NASDAQ composites. The other day we were talking about New Zealand topping the Social Progress Index, a nuanced measure of well-being in 132 countries, everything from access to technology to longevity. What we did not talk about was the country that did so well in Latin America. That's what Stephen Keppel, who covers economics for Univision, was focused on. At number 25 overall in the index, number one in Latin America is Costa Rica. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, David.
Tell me about Costa Rica. You know, it tends to show up well in these rankings, not just this particular one, but others as well.
One of the reasons that a lot of people point to is that in 1948, the Costa Rican government actually abolished the military. And then they spent a lot of that money that others were spending on troops and weapons, and they put it into education and health. And I think we kind of are seeing that reflected in the past 20 years of development.
It's a striking example of this. If you divert a portion of your economy away from the military and perhaps toward education, it's possible you can get different outcomes. The thing is, many countries don't have that luxury, right?
I would say, especially in Latin America, with the problems of violence and security issues, you're exactly right. I mean, I think another thing, and we see this in Uruguay, which was right behind Costa Rica, they focused on education, they are socially inclusive. And another thing that is similar about these two countries is that they're both small, so they are able to better try out some of these things than bigger, more diverse countries like a Colombia or a Brazil.
Now back to Costa Rica. The economy is agriculture, but of course, tourism is a major factor there.
Yes, tourism is a big part of the Costa Rican economy. But we're also seeing a lot of investment from tech companies. Intel has set up shop there. HP is another company that has a large office. You know, education levels in Costa Rica are some of the highest in Latin America. And it's one of the most secure countries in the region as well.
It's an irony, right? Decided not to have a military, yet it's fairly secure.
Exactly. It is a really interesting example of a country basically saying, you know, there's a lot of craziness happening around me, but we're just going to do our thing. You know, a lot of people refer to Costa Rica as kind of the Switzerland of Latin America. And if you look on the list, Switzerland is up there pretty high as well.
Stephen Keppel covers economics for Univision. Stephen, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
And the online publication Quartz has one of those correlation or coincidence pieces. As women give birth to fewer babies in America, the number of small dogs people own has risen. Small dogs, big dog ownership looks flat, and medium dogs have tapered off since 2007. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM American Public Media.